you'd stand with me, we're going to go to the word of the Lord today, James chapter 3 and verse 13 through 18. We are excited about the Youth Week this week, and Brother Joe Campitella, I'm excited to hear him preach and minister to our church. This is a youth revival, but it's for the whole church, okay? Now, Friday night is a youth rally. It is a youth rally, and we're attempting to have the first youth rally we've had in a long time in our area. And so we've limited our seating, and registration is required. So if you are not registered, I believe they're going to have seating available in the event center. But if you are not registered, you need to talk to Brother Sean or Sister Courtney Esten and see if you can still register, because that may be full. And this will be a youth rally for the whole area, but we want you to come, but you just need to register, okay? And we're going to have to sit with those that we come with, wear a mask, and we're trying to max out our capabilities and still have a rally that we can invite other churches to. So we're looking forward to that this week. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Amen. I wonder if you'd pray with me today that God would just help us as we speak on the fruits of wisdom. The fruits of wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would help us today. We open our hearts, we open our minds to your word, to your presence, to your anointing. I pray, Lord, that every yoke would be broken today. I pray that every chain of darkness would be defeated. I pray, God, there'd be victory in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our families, in this city. Lord, we're believing you for revival. We're claiming victory, oh God, and I pray that you'd help us as we look to heaven. We don't look to wisdom on this earth, Lord, but we look to heavenly wisdom. We look to godly wisdom, wisdom that is from above. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray that you would honor your word with signs and miracles following. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to know what to do with that knowledge. And that's wisdom. James said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? There are some who just pretend to be wise, but there are others who are truly wise. True wisdom is made up of both knowledge and wisdom. You see, it's one thing to go to school and to learn everything the teacher says, to study everything found in the book and to make good grades on the test. That's one thing. It's knowledge. But true wisdom is having that knowledge and being wise about what to do with it. Too many times teachers, they focus only on the knowledge part of the lesson, but if they never make the connection of how that knowledge can be used in the real world, well, they've missed it. Have you ever met those people who they have so much book knowledge? They have incredible intelligence, but they just don't have any common sense. Help us, Lord. True wisdom will include both. James said, whoever is wise and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Where there is true wisdom, there is going to be evidence of it. That word there that is translated as good conversation, it actually means in good conduct, in good behavior. Amen. We can detect people who have wisdom by their behavior, because actions speak louder than words. Amen. We know them by their fruit. It's one thing to talk the talk, but it's another thing to walk the walk. Amen. To actually do it, to be able to prove by our actions that we are wise. So whoever is wise, they're going to be able to show through their good behavior, through their conduct. They're going to be able to show wisdom and meekness, according to James. True wisdom is evidenced by humility. You see, somebody who is truly wise, they don't have to tell everybody they're so wise. People that are wise, they don't have to go and brag about it, but their wisdom is shown. Their wisdom makes room for itself. Wise people are not arrogant, but they have a teachable spirit themselves. Those who refuse to learn can't teach others. It's kind of an oxymoron, but someone who knows everything about everything and every situation and every person, they can't listen to others. They can't listen to wisdom because they think they already know it all. That's not true wisdom. Amen. My elders used to teach us that, well, we should listen more than we speak. Don't tell everything you know, because you'll soon show everybody you really don't know all that much. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to not only have knowledge, but to know what to do with that knowledge, to have wisdom. We need direction from above, because we don't know everything there is to know, and we are lacking in ourselves. But I tell you today, there is a source of wisdom. And if we will ask God for it, he will give it to us. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If we need wisdom today, if you will ask God, he will give it to you. He won't rebuke you, but if you ask him, he will give you wisdom. And so I know that many today are dealing with situations that you just don't have the answer for. And you're praying and you're believing God and you're remaining faithful. But you need wisdom today. You truly don't know what to do. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and it shall be given him. And so we're going to believe today that God is going to give us wisdom so that we can move forward in his will and we can be pleasing unto him so that his will is accomplished in our lives. Amen. Does anybody need some wisdom from the Lord today? I believe God is going to give it today. James then goes right into giving us an example of wisdom that does not come from above. Wisdom that is earthly. We read in James 3:14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Apparently some of those who James was writing to, they had got their wisdom mixed up. They thought they had heavenly wisdom. But they were critical. They were accusing of others. You know, it's not uncommon for bitter and critical people to be deceived. And they think that they're doing God's work and going around and finding fault in everybody else. And have you ever met someone like that? They thought that they were so spiritual, and so they go around and they think they're finding fault in everybody else, and they're so wise, and they're criticizing and complaining and putting people down, all in the name of heavenly wisdom. But James sets them straight. He said, if you've got bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is not wisdom from above, but it's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. And James was talking to those who were in the church. In Matthew 23:28, Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and he said, you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. I tell you today, it's so sad. It's so sad, but some of the most bitter and critical people in the world are people who go to church.
And somewhere along the way, they got off track. And instead of being led by heavenly wisdom, they're being led by wisdom from this earth. Oh, they should be righteous. They should have a heart after God's own heart. But somewhere they got off track. And now, instead of being led by the Spirit of God, they're led by this earthly wisdom. James says in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." We wonder why there's so much confusion in our society. Why is there so much evil? Why is there so much jealousy and selfish ambition? Why is there disorder and insurrection? Why is there confusion? It's because we're lacking wisdom from above. And here's the thing, earthly wisdom will produce results. Earthly wisdom will produce results. It will produce fruit. But that fruit will be drastically different than that which is produced by wisdom from above. We need to be able to look at a situation. We need to be able to analyze that information and to observe people. We need to be able to hear the words that they say or see the things that they do. And if we're full of the Holy Ghost, then we should be able to tell what wisdom they're led of. Come on, is it from above or is it from below? It doesn't matter how much they claim to be godly or how much they claim to be right. If we're led of the Spirit, we should be able to know what wisdom they are of. Whether it's bitterness and envying and strife and confusion and every evil work, that's not wisdom from above. I'm trying to help us today. We need to realize sometimes there's wolves in sheep's clothing and ye shall know them by their fruit. You got to look at the fruit. What kind of fruit is their wisdom producing? Earthly wisdom is actually demonic, according to the Word of God here. And if you study Lucifer, you see that Lucifer's sin was pride and rebellion. He was selfish. The greatest commandment is for us to love God, and the second is to love others. But Satan and his demons, they place a high value on loving and promoting themselves. The people James was writing to, who they were practicing earthly wisdom. They were claiming to be so wise and spiritual, but that's contrary to genuine wisdom. Wisdom from above is always paired with meekness. You see, earthly wisdom, that makes people envious of one another. It causes them to be self-seeking. They try to destroy others while building themselves up. Why is there so much confusion in our world today? It's because everyone is for themselves. Everyone only cares about what's in it for them and what makes them happy and what makes them rich and what makes them successful. I tell you, that's a recipe for disaster. And unless something changes... Unless something changes, that earthly wisdom is going to lead our nation to destruction because it's demonic. It's demonic. But we are not of this world. We are in this world, yes, but we are not of this world. Amen. And we've got to be full of the Spirit so that we can be led of godly wisdom. And in situations and in conversations and on the job and at school, all of a sudden something checks your spirit and you say, That's not of God right there. I've got to be careful about that. I don't need to join up with him. I don't need to do that because that's not heavenly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. What we need to do today is repent. We need to repent for relying on our own wisdom. We've depended on earthly wisdom long enough, and look where it's got us. What we need today is wisdom from above. We need wisdom from above. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. We need to learn to be led of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church. We're spiritual beings. We need to let the Spirit of God inside of us come alive so that we're led of the Holy Ghost, and we don't walk just in the flesh, we don't walk just in earthly wisdom, but wherever we walk and whatever we do, we're led of the Spirit of God. Amen. Don't you believe that the revival that God wants to send in the last days is going to come through earthly wisdom? Oh no, it's going to come from heavenly wisdom as God directs his people, as we respond to his spirit, as we're led in this community and in this city, as we pray the prayer of faith and people are raised up. That's not going to happen through earthly wisdom. And when we come to church, amen, we've got to get in a connection with God so that we leave earthly wisdom aside and the Spirit of God starts talking to us and starts teaching us things and starts moving upon our spirit. Amen. We've got to have that connection with the Holy Ghost or we'll never make it to be the revival church that God has called us to be. Amen, amen. This church believes in leadership training. This church believes in spiritual growth. This church believes in personal growth. But let me tell you today, if you're not in connection with the Spirit of God, if you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to worship, if you come to church and just sit there like a bump on a log, amen, I want to tell you, you're not in connection with the one who truly helps us grow. Amen, amen. I've got a library full of leadership books, but I tell you, a lot of it is based on earthly wisdom. We need something more than that. We need something that's a higher level. We need something that's anointed of God. We need something from the power of God's word that will transcend earthly wisdom and will allow us to be led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God is looking for young people. God is looking for children. God's looking for adults who in the last days, they will be able to tune in to the Spirit so that they feel the unction of the Holy Ghost and they can speak a word of faith to someone that nobody else would know. But God, the Holy Ghost, speaks through them and that person knows. How did they know that? It had to be God. We need to repent today for relying on earthly wisdom. Wisdom from above. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Heavenly wisdom is not full of envy. It's not full of self-seeking. It's pure. It has the welfare of others at heart. It puts others first. The wisdom from above, it seeks peace. It deals with people in a gentle way. It's approachable. It's full of mercy and it produces good fruit. While earthly wisdom is stubborn. Earthly wisdom is so stubborn. It seeks to force its own way, but heavenly wisdom makes us stop and listen to the Spirit. To look for ways to bring people together, instead of dividing wisdom from above, it builds unity. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. First of all, Paul says he's a prisoner of the Lord. He's a prisoner of the Lord. Yes, he was bound not only in chains, but he was bound to a higher calling than his own, that of Jesus Christ. And he says, I beseech you. In other words, he says, I beg you to walk worthy of your calling with lowliness and meekness and with longsuffering. In other words, he says, you need to always be humble. You need to be gentle and be patient with one another, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep unity, the unity of the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Strife and discord and division, it's selfishness. It's selfishness. It's fleshly, it's self-seeking, and God is displeased with it. But unity, Oh, unity brings the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David wrote in Psalm 133 and 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." You see, true Christians build up. They edify others. They lift up people. They have something beyond just themselves that they're living for. They're following after Jesus Christ, and that unites them together. That brings them together in unity. That draws them together in the kingdom. And I tell you, that brings the blessings of God, because we leave our self behind. We leave our flesh behind, and we say, we're going to join together for the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, Harvest. We've got something important. We're together in this. It's not your plan. It's not my plan, but it's God's plan. It's God's church, and we've got to pursue unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It brings the blessings of God. It brings the anointing of God. It brings the outpouring of His Spirit. It brings the power of His presence. Hallelujah. We ought to pursue unity at all cost. That doesn't mean we agree on everything, but we should put aside disagreements in order to seek unity. We focus on what's more important, keeping unity. Because we know Satan seeks to bring strife and discord, but we're not going to let him use us to destroy what God wants to do. And so we bind together. We unite around a common purpose, following Christ. How good and how pleasant it is to dwell together in unity. You see, there's some fruits of wisdom. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Galatians 6 and 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Wisdom from above, it produces a godly character, a Christ-like character. Earthly wisdom produces results totally different than heavenly wisdom. Don't give into the temptation to use earthly wisdom. Well, everybody else is. I just don't seem to get ahead because I'm always trying to do what's right. Don't stoop to that level. God sees it. God sees it. God keeps score. God keeps good records. Just because other businesses are cutting corners, you keep doing it right. Don't join them, because God sees it. Even if others are ambitious and they're prideful and they're self-seeking, you take the low road. In His time, God will raise you up. Somebody needs to hear that right now. Just because others are ambitious and they're self-seeking, you don't join them. You take the low road, because in time, God's going to lift you up. And when God raises you up, you're not put there by man. You've been put there by the presence of God. Amen. You trust in the Lord. You humble yourself. You wait on God to open the door, and you let God put you there. I know they did you wrong, but you don't return evil for evil. That's earthly, that's sensual, that's devilish. That produces bitterness and strife and confusion and every evil work. But I want to tell you, there are also some fruits that come from the wisdom that's from above. James 3 and 17 again, but the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, he taught that peacemakers are the children of God. Peacemakers. Instead of causing division, they bring people together. Gentleness, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. While earthly wisdom is unmerciful, the wisdom of God always looks for a chance to show mercy. It's free of partiality. It's without hypocrisy. Godly wisdom does not have to call attention to itself. Wisdom from above will make room for itself. I tell you, those with godly wisdom, they're sowing the fruit of righteousness. They're planting the seeds of peace, and that will produce wonderful fruit. What kind of fruit is in the garden of our heart? What kind of seeds are we planting? What kind of wisdom are we practicing? What's being produced from our life? What seeds are growing there? What's growing in our heart? What's growing in our life? What's growing in our children? Come on. What's growing in our church? Oh, let it be the fruit of righteousness that's sown in peace. Let it be the fruit of wisdom that is from above. Hallelujah. This is such an anti-world way of thinking, because this world says me first. This world says push others down so you can win. This world says you push everybody aside so you can get to the front of the line. That's earthly wisdom. And I want to tell you, it's sensual and it's devilish. But there is a wisdom from above. And that wisdom from above says, you know what? There's someone that's in charge of this. And he's greater than me, and he's greater than you. And it doesn't matter if I'm at the back of the line, because the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. You let the Lord figure all that out. You just trust God. You keep being faithful. You keep sowing peace. Amen. You keep sowing unity. And you let God figure all of that out. And in his time, he will bless. And in his time, he will lift you up. And in his time, he will bring his anointing. And the fruit of wisdom from above will be produced. So here's a question. If we're not supposed to have earthly wisdom, but wisdom that is from above, with the reality that our world is full of plenty of people around us who don't have godly wisdom, they deal in earthly wisdom. And it's evil, it's sensual, it's devilish. So what are we supposed to do? Even in the church, sometimes there are those who may say they're Christians, but the fruit of what they're doing shows that they have earthly wisdom. So what do we do with that? How do we deal with that, with earthly wisdom? Our text was from the last verses of James chapter 3. If you read on, continuing on to chapter 4, James asked in verse 1, he said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He's talking to the church. From whence come wars and fightings among you? The main source of trouble and conflict in the church is selfishness. It's selfishness. People are focused on themselves instead of others. They want recognition. They want honor. They want glory to lift themselves up. And that desire for the things of the flesh, it becomes more important than righteousness. It becomes more important than the will of God. And in our world, the main source of trouble and conflict is selfishness. Everybody is for themselves. They don't care who they have to push down. They just want the power. They just want the money. They focus on satisfying their own desires, and their own flesh becomes their God. And I tell you, God refuses to answer the prayers of those with selfish ambition. Prayers from those who love pleasure and seek after power and riches. If we have a heart filled with selfish desires, we need to pay attention today. God will not answer our prayers. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, so that you can consume it on your lust, the Bible says. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's describing our world. You just go down through the news reports, it's there, even in Springfield. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's gentleness, it's goodness, it's faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's nothing prohibiting those things. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. I'm preaching to a people today that you've been filled with the Spirit of God, but that's not enough. You need to keep that Spirit of God alive in you, so that we're not walking in the flesh, but we're walking in the Spirit. We're led of the Spirit. We can hear in the Spirit. We can feel in the Spirit. We can see in the Spirit. Well, Pastor, I just don't know. I just can't overcome the flesh. I can't overcome the lust of the flesh. I can't overcome the lust of the eye. I can't overcome the pride of life. I just don't know how I'm going to live for God. You need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen. You learn to pray until you have a breakthrough in the Spirit. You learn to pray until this flesh dies out on an altar and the Lord takes control of your heart. You learn to put everything of this world aside and say, I'm not leaving this altar until I die here. We've got to learn to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Those two things are contrary one to another. The flesh and the Spirit. You can't walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit. Now we're in a fleshly body. And until we get out of this life, we're stuck in this fleshly body. But we have a Spirit inside of us. That's why every once in a while we got to push back from the table, because we've been feeding this flesh too much. That's why sometimes you got to take account of what kind of media am I putting into this flesh, because this flesh is so strong. What kind of conversation am I taking part in? What am I doing? Because all of it's just feeding my flesh, and we got to push back from all of that. And we got to say, no, I've got to get back in the Word of God. I've got to get back to my times of prayer. I've got to get back to being a worshiper in the house of God. I've got to get back to leading my family after the things of God, because I don't want to walk in the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, what's leading us? What's driving us? What controls us? Is it our flesh, or is it the Spirit of God? Amen. And it's not, well, you can't just say, well, I'm controlled by the Spirit. No, your actions speak louder than your words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what are we to do if we're dealing with earthly wisdom? Reading on in James chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So what are we to do? Number one, submit to God. Submit to God. Hey man, we've got to submit to the Lord. God, I submit to you. I submit to your plan for my life. I submit to your word. I submit to your commandments, Lord. I submit to your spirit. Lead me and direct me in the way that I should go. I submit to God. And then number two, resist the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Oh, pastor, I can't stop watching ungodly movies. What do you got Amazon Fire TV for then? What in the world are you doing with Netflix? Come on, don't give place to the devil. Used to, I could bring up one of those big old TVs and just put it here and hit it with a baseball bat and say, come on. Don't give place to the devil. But now media is infiltrated every part of our society. But sometimes you got to just turn the screen off. Sometimes you got to delete the app. Sometimes you got to say, I'm not giving place to the devil, but I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I want to tell you, I feel this in my spirit. Some of you are struggling with your flesh. Some of you are struggling with ungodly thoughts. You're struggling with ungodly language. You're struggling with unrighteous desires. You're struggling with the lust of the eye. It's because you're feeding that. You need to cut off media right now. You need to get in the book. You need to get at the altar. You need to make place for the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil and draw near to God. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. I know sometimes it seems like we're in a dry valley. It seems like we're in a wilderness. We go to our time of prayer and it's like, I can't even get through this. I can't feel the Lord. I can't feel nothing. Why am I even doing it? It's not doing any good. I want to tell you, you keep on priming that pump. You keep on priming that pump. Sometimes you keep priming the pump and you don't get any water yet. You don't see any results yet, but you keep pumping. You keep priming the pump because one day there's going to be a breakthrough and that well of living water is going to overflow and you're going to be in another level with relationship with God. Hey man, I felt this last night. We had a great time of church family prayer. Thank you for those of you that are making church family prayer a priority. I thank you for that. I thank you for our leaders who make church family prayer a priority. I understand you can't make it every week. I understand. I haven't been here every single week. But if you're a leader in this church and you have not ever been to church family prayer, there's something wrong. And I'm not looking at anybody right now, okay? This is just coming out. If you're a leader in this church and you have never been to church family prayer, shame on you. That's earthly wisdom. And we need more than earthly wisdom. We've got to get in connection with the Spirit of God. If we're going to do the things that God has called us to do, we've got to have the anointing and the presence and the blessings of God upon our leadership. You draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I was thinking last night, because I'll just be honest, for most of the time of prayer, I didn't feel nothing. It was dry. There was other people feeling something, but I was like, Lord, what's wrong with me? It's boring. I'm ready to quit. But I kept praying. And there was a breakthrough that happened. And all of a sudden, some tears started to roll, and I felt the presence of God still reaching for my life. But the thought came to me, how many people in our church, they give up because they prayed for 15 minutes and didn't feel anything. They sought the Lord for 5 minutes and everything was dry. They prayed for an hour and they never had the breakthrough. And how many people in our church have never had that blessed moment where they break through into the Spirit and God starts to work and move through their prayers, and they've never experienced that, so they don't even know to keep pressing through because they don't know what they're pressing through to. Come on, church, we need to have an awakening where there's a hunger, where there's a burden, where there's a thirst for righteousness. And we come to our prayer time, whether it's here at church or at home somewhere, and we say, I'm not leaving here until I feel the presence of God. I'm not leaving here until there's a breakthrough in my life. I'm not leaving until there's an answer. Because I'm tired of depending on earthly wisdom. I've got to have an answer from the Lord. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Be afflicted. James said, you got to be afflicted. Mourn and weep. No, I don't want to. Don't despise affliction. There's a reason for it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, I'm so weak, Pastor. That's your own earthly wisdom that's weak. Start depending upon the Lord. And when you're weak, as this earth goes, as you're weak as this earthly knowledge goes, you're going to be strong in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Hallelujah. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil. Let God handle it. Focus on the good. Would you stand in closing with me? There's seven things here in James chapter 4. What are we to do when we're dealing with earthly wisdom? Submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Humble yourselves, speak not evil, and number seven, depend on God. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You remember the old timers? Well, Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, they used to add. Around here, that can happen. We get so wrapped up in being in control and planning everything out, doing it our way, when in reality, we're not in control. We may think we are, but I want to tell you, this life that is so fleeting, it's so short, only God knows what's going to happen from day to day. Godly wisdom. Wisdom that's from above. It doesn't say, well, I'm going to go do this and that and that, and I'll make all these plans. But wisdom that's from above says, you know what? Whatever the Lord wills. Whatever the Lord wills. Not my will, but thine be done. I want every young person between 15 and 30 to listen to me right now. I'm all for college.
I'm all for education. I have a college degree, and I'm wanting to pursue another one. But there's something greater than education. And that's wisdom that's from above. There's some of you right now, you're making plans for your future. Right now, you're trying to get things organized in which direction you're going to go. I'm going to challenge every single one of you to put a hold on whatever plans you've got. This week's going to be an important week for our church. I want you this week to approach this with a clear mind and an open heart. You just put a hold on whatever plans you've been making. And you let God speak to you this week. Because I don't want to plan it all out and never consider what God is leading me to. Hallelujah. Amen. Throughout these revival services, you let the Lord speak to your heart. And you be willing that whatever God says, if God says, no, that's not the way I want you to go, then you be willing to shut it down immediately. Amen. 2021, you can look back and say, that's the year that God gave me direction. That's the year that I heard from the Lord. That's the year I stopped depending on earthly wisdom. And I said, God, I need you to direct my heart. And I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be, Lord. I just want you to receive the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody here right now. You need to lay earthly wisdom down on the altar. And you need to reach out to God. You need to draw near to Him. You need to submit to His word. You need to submit to His plan. Because you're going to reap the fruit of whatever wisdom you choose to. Hey, come on, I need godly wisdom. Lord, don't let me be led by earthly wisdom. Don't let me be led according to my flesh. Don't let me be led by selfishness. But Lord, I humble myself before you. I die out before you today. Not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Oh God, I pray that you would give me a purpose. Give me a plan, Lord. Give me direction. Speak to my heart today. Give me wisdom, I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, would you reach out to the Lord? God said if you ask Him for wisdom, He's going to give it to you. Whatever you need wisdom for, whatever direction you need, whatever answer you need, I believe God can speak to you in a moment like this in Jesus' name.